Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five. Wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time...
Oh, you didn't know? You have got to call somebody!
First, representing This Week in Geek, and from parts unknown, he is... Mike, the Birdman, Don.
I am one hardcore D-O-double-D.
I'm a nice man. I'm a nice man.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike. TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
The internet can be your window to the world or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.
With the sub of the day at Subway restaurants, you can get a different 6-inch sandwich for just $4.39 or footlong for just $7.89 every day. But it's not just a good deal, it's a good deed. Now through April 28th, for every 10 sub of the day purchases, Subway restaurants will donate one meal to a local food bank network, Feed Ontario. Our goal is 150,000 meals. So make it what you want and make something great happen for someone else. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. One meal is the monetary equivalent of 33 cents.
Hello and welcome to Mayhem Mike's. This is episode 50. It's only taken us 4 years to get to episode 50, folks. I'm, of course, Mike, TFG1 Blanchard. Joining me is Ryan, the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Hello, I am Ryan, the Uneven Flow.
Yes, you are.
I'm just trying to sound like we did last week, according to you.
Ha.
So it's time for our 7.5-hour podcast.
Actually, it's not. Okay, so our good
buddy...
Hey,
remember last year when we complained, and a lot of people complained that WrestleMania was too long?
Yeah.
I have a great idea. Let's make it longer.
Okay, so that's if you watch everything.
Even if you don't, it still ran longer.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
34 was 7 hours. 35 was 5 hours.
35 was 7.5 hours in total. You're counting 34 being 7 hours with the pre-show.
No. I could have sworn it was 7 hours just the regular event. I'm not. Yeah, you're right.
We ran well after midnight on this one.
Well, I don't watch the pre-show. So the actual event of WrestleMania was 5 hours and 24 minutes or something.
I sadly did watch the pre-show. I don't have a lot to add on it because it really wasn't good. No.
Really?
So, Tony Nese, and surprise, surprise, by the way, Tony Nese and Buddy Murphy for the 205 Live title was the best part of the pre-show. And it was all right. They've had better matches on TV, though. The women's battle royal was not good. And the men's battle royal was probably worse. And then Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder versus The Revival. So The Revival are one of the many teams that are out.
Right.
Or sorry, on their way out, I should say. So, yeah, it's not real surprising they lost. They asked to be released not long ago. So that match wasn't great either. And then the men's battle royal was not good at all. It was really just the story of Jost, Che, there we go, and then Braun.
Yeah.
Man, whatever. I was about to say, how far has Braun fallen, but...
I mean...
I'm ecstatic with him on Tuesday because it's a match I've desperately wanted.
Braun versus Joe? Yeah.
Yes. Like, I'm 1,000% behind that. That is a great program for both of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how far has he fallen? Just that he's not even on the WrestleMania main show this year. Not to mention Owens didn't even show up at all. He wasn't even in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, no. I wasn't expecting him to be anywhere, honestly, no. Sadly. I mean, isn't he out? You said he was injured last time we did an episode, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's come back since then. He fought in the last pay-per-view, so... Remember, he took Kofi's spot at Fastlane for
the
match. But anyway, yeah, so whatever. Skip straight to it.
Okay, so both you and Alex, and I'm sure Mike Dodd, folks, from This Week in Geek. Alex said he watched everything. Hall of Fame, NXT, pre-show, plus the five-hour main event of WrestleMania itself.
Yep.
I saw snippets of Hall of Fame. I saw...
I think everybody's seen one snippet of it, at least.
I was going to say. I saw the moron that basically attacked Bret Hart.
Yeah, I don't want to give a lot to this. I mean, there's nothing...
No,
I'm just saying, yeah. Like, he doesn't deserve the publicity.
I mean... If anything, Dash Wilder deserves the publicity.
Speaking of The Revival, I love The Revival from NXT, but yeah, I definitely like that. You know, thank goodness that Travis Brown. I feel really bad if I get it wrong, but
Ronda Rousey's husband?
Yes, he was one of the first to respond, as was Big E and Xavier Woods.
Yep.
You know, getting in there and separating and getting out of the way, which,
it's a thing that happened that shouldn't have happened.
No, I was going to say, like, massive finger of shame, I guess, to the security.
Yeah, really. Like, I mean, this is WWE. I don't think they would have planned something like that. That's not a storyline, folks. That was something that really friggin' happened.
Yeah, no,
really friggin' stupid.
Why, he attacked a geriatric cancer and stroke survivor. And to be blunt, there's not many wrestlers still alive who have had a worse go of it than Hart.
True. Very true.
It was kind of sickening. On the good side, the NXT stuff was great. And the Hall of Fame, aside from that, obviously, the Hall of Fame was good. And it was really nice that China got a pretty significant part of the DX induction. So I like that. I enjoyed WrestleMania as a whole, by the way. I know I'm going to whine about the length like everybody else has, and we'll try to keep it to a minimum, but anyway. Yeah.
I felt like this year was, because I only watched the main event of, the main pay-per-view. It's an hour longer than like a Money in the Bank or something. Or it's not, like, it wasn't as bad as, like, I didn't come away from watching WrestleMania 35 the way I did last year.
Like, yeah, so it just, getting straight into it, I thought there was a lot more filler and stuff I wouldn't have bothered with.
Mm-hmm.
but alternatively, they spaced things out better. So, for example, we open with, I wasn't a big fan of bothering to open with Hogan, because to be blunt, I'm not sure what he has to do here.
Yeah, I saw a lot of news articles basically saying, so WWE brought Hulk Hogan to WrestleMania for no apparent reason or for no real purpose.
But I will say the scene of nobody knowing why, but the scene of Paul Heyman coming straight out during that from the back and then just starting the, you're bringing Brock out essentially. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
That worked out. And holy cow, that was the first match.
Yeah. Like, that was cool. Absolutely amazing. Thought it was great.
Yeah.
I think the real reason why Hulk was there was so Alexa would have something to do as the hostess.
I don't know. Thing. I mean, we'll get to her later, I think, more. But yeah, the host thing this year was kind of unnecessary, it felt like.
Yeah.
She basically just came out later to, how would I say it now? It came out later to announce the crowd. And yeah, like, aside from that, and the stupid dance break, which they did not need that late in the night. Like, the entire crowd is clearly exhausted, which, by the way, is the good and bad. So you have this match first, which is good because it means the crowd's definitely into it. Yeah. The negative is, of course, that it takes a lot of energy out of it. But there was a match later on that took a lot more energy out of it. Mm-hmm. But this one, holy cow, I didn't see any of this happening. I wasn't even entirely sure Rollins would win. Like,
I didn't, like...
I was terrified he was going
to lose. So, for those that don't know, for those that haven't watched but are listening to this podcast for some odd reason, first of all, stop listening to us, you douchebags, and go watch WrestleMania 35. You know, go through the 5 hours that we went through kind of thing. But, you know, it's one of those things where Brock and Seth come out. They don't even get the match started until, what, maybe 10, 15 minutes into the thing.
Yeah, they Brock did the whole bit where Lesnar just lays into Rollins.
Lays into Rollins.
Which I also liked. I thought that was well done, and it made sense, especially after Heyman talking about how they're not going to sit around all night and wait, and that if he's not going to be on last, then he's going to be on first, just so he can leave and get out of here now.
Yeah, go to Vegas and lose a bunch of money or whatever the hell they're doing out there.
It's a reference to UFC, but anyway.
Right, I understand. Well, I'm saying, So,
he just tosses Rollins around for the first chunk of it.
Yeah, I mean, Seth Rollins in this opening bit here is not Seth Rollins. He's just Seth the Ragdoll is what he is, because Brock just tosses him all over, everywhere. I mean, the only thing Brock didn't do was basically kick Seth Rollins all the way back into the stands where the Shield used to come out. That's the only thing Brock did not do.
But Rollins knows that Brock's kryptonite is getting hit in the dingling.
Okay, so remember, was it last year? Yeah, it had been last year, or it might have even been 2017. It was the point when Shinsuke first came on the scene.
Ah, yes, the Shinsuke. Well, it was when he came out and turned heel,
right?
That he and AJ had their knocking each other in the nuts. I was thinking more of the Undertaker. Remember the Undertaker? He loved to look over Brock's gonads.
Right.
That did not come out right.
The only reason why I say Shinsuke is because that was the point where I got fed up with WWE at the time with him and AJ. The time where I kept saying this has gone on way too long. This is one too many nut shots. This is one too many.
There's only one here, at least.
Exactly. You know, there's one here, and there's, one on Raw or whatever it was beforehand. But the point is, you knew. And I read an article somewhere that, it was originally supposed to go the other way on Raw before Mania.
Like,
Brock was supposed to beat the ever-living crap out of Seth. I'm glad it didn't go that way.
And I thought this went well, too. Like, it felt like, remember last year, we had Brock and Goldberg. Was it last year? I think it was last year. Anyway, it reminded me a lot of the Brock and Goldberg matches, especially with how quick it was.
Yep.
You know, because Rollins hits, nails Brock in the gonads, and then just smacks him with the stomp three times, and it's over.
Yeah.
I thought it was well done. I thought it was booked really intelligently. The crowd was crazy for it. This was just, it was smart. It was a great way to start.
It was the coolest way to start. It was, you didn't know what was going to happen on either side, kind of a thing. They then follow that up with a SmackDown Live match between AJ and Orton.
I thought the match was not bad. It just wasn't special. But having said that, for anyone who hasn't heard, including you possibly, AJ got hurt in the match. So
yeah,
he's out for a bit.
I saw, again, that's not good. Yeah, it's not good. Hopefully he gets better very soon.
Still, I mean, good. It was what it needed to be. Like, it was an alright match. It didn't run super long. I like that it was slower than the previous match.
Right.
And I like that. I think AJ winning is probably the right call. No offense to Orton.
Right.
And there were some good spots in it. But, yeah, it wasn't anything super special, but it wasn't terrible or anything like that. So
I don't know if it's me and my current discontent with the way Raw and SmackDown are, and we'll talk about that at the very end of the show as well, but it's one of those things where, am I missing something here? Like, I knew AJ and Randy were going to be fighting at this WrestleMania, but have I missed some big feud or something? Like, I don't, even though I skipped through SmackDown.
They've both taken shots at each other the last 2 weeks now.
Okay.
They might not be in the Hulu version. Actually, no, they play the whole thing. That's right.
Yeah, they play the whole SmackDown.
Anyway,
it's just Raw that they cut down by half.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
They could cut down Raw by a lot more than half.
Well, again, wait till the end, folks. We'll talk about that at the end of that.
Speaking of things that should be cut out, fuck off, Lacey Evans. There's no other way for me to put this. This show was long enough already. I'm sick of this stupid thing. I know she's come out now on Raw and SmackDown to attack Lynch, but I don't.
I don't
like criticizing wrestlers. They all do a very difficult job that I can never do. But thus far, I'm not sure why WWE is so high on her. She's been sloppy, we'll say, in the ring.
I'm
not a fan of this stupid, like, come out and twirl. The last time you would have seen her was in the Royal Rumble, where she was, oof.
Right.
That was not a good showing.
It was not
she
a good showing,
really
yeah.
killed about three people, so.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. But, like, lately, she just comes out, does her little Southern Belle twirl, you know, sophisticated thing, and doesn't really do anything until the SmackDown after Mania, which we'll talk about later. Yeah. Up next was SDL tag team titles, the Usos versus every other tag team.
Which was pretty good.
It was a tag team four-way, I think.
Yeah, there were too many people, but to be fair, they did a good job of everyone getting involved and it not being a long match.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this was one of the better matches on the show, and it was pretty quick.
And
I had no issues. Usos win. Usos is one of the most underrated tag teams of all time at this point, I think.
Yeah, and they're one of the coolest, honestly, right now, currently. At least on SmackDown. If not the entire locker room. But it's one of those
very
things
good at what they do.
Where the storyline for this was because they did the noble thing, you know, on the Raw Go Home show about, you know, forfeiting
SmackDown Go Home show.
SmackDown, whatever. Same difference.
Keep fixing them up. SmackDown's the good one, by the way. It's an hour shorter, thankfully.
Hold your breath on that one. Because WWE's about to say, hold my beer. I like the Usos. I like that they won. I don't particularly like any of the other tag teams that were in this.
No, I like Cesaro and
Sheamus.
Sheamus, thank you. Jeez, brain freeze. But the bar has been used really poorly. They're used freaking terribly on Raw. the next night too.
Yeah.
Just what a shit spot to put them in. I'm trying not to swear, but it's hard.
It's an explicit podcast. It's
Rusev and Shinsuke are just wasted in this. Two guys that shouldn't be together, who are way too talented to be just in a tag team. And Ricochet and Black, I'm not really sure why they just kind of got paired up, and feels like they just don't know what to do with them, and so they decided, hey, let's make them yet another tag team. We don't have enough of those.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And then the comedy aspect of WrestleMania begins, because it's Miz versus Shane.
Well, we did get we summed it up earlier, but I'll mention, too, the Hall of Fame ceremony. Summary. I'm fine with that, by the way. If I mentioned there's a lot of wasted time, that's not a waste of time. They deserve to be out there. And
yeah, they do. Every year that they every year they do the Hall of Fame, when they do the recognition on the actual pay-per-view after the ceremony, obviously, kind of thing, they deserve to be out there and you know, to take their bows. And the way they did the DX thing was really cool at the very end.
Yeah. And I'm in agreement with you, by the way. As much as I like The Miz, I didn't like this. It was... when you say comedy, I really hope you're referring to the really silly bit with Miz's dad.
Yes.
Which, like, so first of all, Miz's dad is able to walk into the ring, which I guess, as we saw from the Hall of Fame show, that... You know, I guess you can just walk into a WWE ring and attack somebody. Anyway, he gets in, he gets beat up by Shane, and then there's this hilarious thing where A, nobody ever came in, B, Miz sits there for about 20 minutes waiting for somebody to come check in his dad. Then Miz finally has to come get the ringside trainer, which, to be fair, I mean, they gave Miz's dad roughly the same medical treatment they gave CM Punk, so I guess that's accurate too. But this, I feel bad because they took some risks and that kind of thing, and I like Miz quite a bit. I think he's a very underrated performer, but this match was too long. I was not all that interested. The final spot was, I'm tired of Shane just always having to jump off of something. I realized this was a lot safer than most, which was good.
Yeah, this wasn't like him jumping off Hell in a Cell against Undertaker.
It's much better, but I didn't care about any of this.
If they want to do a storyline about, you know, legacy to legacy, father to father, and that's kind of what they're doing here, like, you know, making Shane the heel, making Shane the younger version of Vince kind of thing. Obviously, he is a younger version of Vince because that's his dad and whatever. But I'm saying, like, if they're going to turn Shane to the point of being so much of a heel that he grabs Mrs. Potato Face Dad, is what he actually said. Oh, my God.
To be fair, I think it was Elias that started that, which was hilarious.
But, you know... It just, the viciousness that has come off of Shane for this feud and for this match is like, wow. The one thing that I don't like about what Shane is doing, it is him, but I believe it wastes time for him and for us that he consistently has the ring announcer repeat.
I thought you were just going to say, which, by the way, they did that bit again on SmackDown, and it was annoying then, too.
Yeah.
But my other issue is, just being blunt, this would have been better if it was Miz versus Kevin Owens. Why couldn't we have seen a wrestler or something? There's already, and I'm not saying Shane's not talented, because he is, but we already have some kind of part-time stuff going on, and there's already, you know, Mustafa Ali is another great example. He got relegated to that stupid pre-show Battle Royal where he wasn't even a major part of it or anything
else. And then didn't he get injured?
Yeah. Well, he banged his head against the announce table. Seems like he was okay, but we'll see. But yeah, just, whatever. Fatal four-way for the women's tag titles.
Yeah. I don't know where they're going with this.
No, and I don't care. it looks like they're going to keep going with it, and I can't be bothered, and it sucks, because I like The Miz, and I think he's very good at pretty much anything he does. This is just not a particularly interesting program, and definitely wasn't interesting enough to be a long WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I was talking about the Iconics.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know what they're doing. Like, I understand, you know, women's tag titles, that's great. The women should have had tag titles 5 years ago. That's awesome. Absolutely. But I'm sorry, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, really?
Yeah, they might be the least seasoned out of everybody that was in the ring.
And I'm sorry, wasn't their whole shtick that obviously they are Australian, or at least they're, I assume they are. If they're not, they're putting on really good fake accents to be, but I assume that they are Australian, both of them. What the hell's up with Peyton dyeing her hair bleach brown blondes? I thought the whole point was that they kind of look alike. Not, they don't really look alike, but at least they have the same damn hair color.
I was surprised to see this change.
Yeah, that was weird.
I'll say this, though. The end of this, and this is why this match and the outcome doesn't bother me as much, was very genuine. The Iconics just bawling. I thought that made it. It was enough of a good moment that the tag, we had women's tag titles, A, and then B, they actually got to be on WrestleMania, and then C, we get a moment of two people genuinely ecstatic about winning them. I don't know. It made up for it, for me, at least. I know that's
I see them more as a, at least from what I've seen from them on television, they're more of like the joke, make fun of.
Yeah, they're comedy.
They're very much a comedy act. They're not, they don't, when I think of women's champions, I think of, you know, Beth Phoenix and Natalya being the first women tag team champions.
Well, we're getting Paige to introduce somebody, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And Sasha seemingly is out for a bit with something. Nobody seems to know exactly. But
nobody seems to know exactly what. And I read an article earlier today as we're recording this Wednesday after WrestleMania, April 10th. Apparently she was a no-show at the Wendy Williams show. And the Wendy Williams show producers were pissed. And apparently they're never going to have her on there again or whatever.
But apparently, yeah, it's something personal. Or it's some something sort of personal family or emergency. Something. So I hope
hopefully everything's okay.
Yeah. And yeah, maybe that's kind of figured into this and they wanted to do something quick. So who knows?
Kofi versus Daniel Bryan. Oh my God.
Well, this was the match of the night.
By a mile,
I thought it was the best match. A. B. They did something that it's been a while since I just lost myself in a match.
Yeah.
And ideally, that's what wrestling does.
Yeah.
That you just kind of lose yourself. And this was near perfect. And they had the right outcome. The fans went nuts.
Well, you had all that buildup. All the weeks and weeks and weeks of Kofi getting his shot taken away for not anything he did, but just because Vince is a dick. You know, all this, all that, and everything else. Well, Kofi's here. Kofi's in the match. He's going to win. And if he didn't win, or if the plan was for him not to win, oh my God, people would basically go buckshot over WWE.
Daniel Bryan, a lot of credit. Because to have a good, strong, good guy, you got to have a great bad guy. First of all, Bryan is the ultimate kind of underdog who everybody wants to cheer for. He's been able to find a way to make people hate him. That's impressive.
Yep.
And then in addition to that, I figured Kofi would win, but I definitely wasn't 100% sure. He did a good enough job that you weren't always sure that it was going to turn out this way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he becomes the first African-American WWE champ.
Wow.
I mean, it's the WWE. So the SmackDown belt has always been the actual kind of WWE
championship belt.
Yeah. And Like, that's how I remember it when they split everything else, and that's how it's generally considered. Yep. And the Raw one was the WCW title. So, yeah, it was a big moment. And Kofi, the fan reaction was amazing. And some of the old WWE, or WWF in this case, superstars, can go to hell. Because we had a few of them complain about this. And most notably one, not even going to use his name, doesn't deserve to be named. But we had one in particular complain that, you know, he didn't think Kofi looked like WWE champ and thought Kofi was too small, which, by the way, is hilarious because he's fighting a guy who's even smaller. But but this guy didn't have a problem with Bryan. By the way, what's one of the differences between Daniel and Kofi? I wonder what his problem could be.
I hope this wasn't Stone Cold.
No.
I wouldn't think it would be.
But. No, Stone Cold. So the amount of people happy about this too proves what kind of guy Kofi is on the outside. CM Punk talking about really happily about it. Edge, Christian, Stone Cold, like everybody's ecstatic for Kofi, and a lot of them say that they should have done this forever ago. So, good for him. And then the moment at the end where Xavier just loses it.
And that was great.
He is, tearing up. Kofi's crying. Xavier's just completely bawling. And they bring in Kofi's kids. Like, it was awesome. Great.
I love it when they do stuff like that.
Yeah, and it felt 100% genuine. Mm-hmm. If this hadn't been on this show, if Daniel had won, no offense to Daniel Bryan, who is fantastic, I get the impression we probably would feel way different about WrestleMania.
Yeah, like, it would not
like
be the
this
same.
This was the part of the night I remember best.
Yeah,
probably always will, because it was great. It was good storytelling in the ring. Mm-hmm. The celebration after was great. This was just fantastic. Like, I cannot think of a bad negative thing about any of it. It was told beautifully.
Yeah, it really was.
If you can get annoyed about it, and if you can, feel great at the end of a match or the outcome or something like that, and you just feel happy, they've done their job.
Yeah, exactly. And, I liked Kofi before the whole New Day thing. I liked him as a singles guy. I liked what he did, off and on that I would see him. I liked Big E as a singles guy. In the beginning of the New Day, it was Xavier Woods that just rubbed me the wrong way. Now I'm okay. I'm okay with it. I get it. It's cool. It's whatever. And I'm very happy for them. Obviously very happy for Kofi. Who knows? Maybe Xavier and Big E can get the SmackDown tag belts off of whoever they... Well, it's now in the hands of two very iconic people, but we'll talk about that later.
The Iconics? We're talking about
No. Maybe I should have said it's in the hands of two very twisted people.
No, Bray isn't back yet. Oh,
hey! Next up, we had Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio the Piñata. Every time Joe is in a match that no one is not even near his weight class or even close, I'm like, Joe's just going to ragdoll you.
Which they never seem to do. I was actually happy about this. And no offense to Rey Mysterio, it was absolutely amazing. And the fact that he's still as good as he is into his 40s is astounding. By the way, before this match, we had more crappy filler.
Which was?
There was the recap of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which I didn't care about. Next, they had Alexa, and they had Kevin Nash and Scott Hall as the doctors looking at the SNL stars, which don't care. Go away.
Super Shredder looking at the SNL stars.
no one cares. The show's too long. Why was that there?
Exactly.
So, Joe annihilates Ray. And They should have depicted Joe as a badass forever ago.
Yep.
It's much needed. Yep. Again, no offense to Ray. Apparently this was cut for time. Which, gee, why didn't you cut any of the other crap for time?
Exactly.
Speaking of matches that could have been cut for time, we have...
Roman versus Drew.
I don't know why this felt flat. And it sucks, because I like both of them. And Reigns, it's nice to see Reigns finally kind of get cheered.
Out of his shell.
I don't know. This match and the feud kind of just felt kind of flat, and I don't know why. It felt like it could have used something. Like, why didn't... I kind of wish they had used Ambrose or something here, or something. It just didn't work.
Yeah, not only is the feud flat, it's also fizzled out. Like, this is one of those things where you had, Drew, Braun, and was it The Bar? It was earlier last year when it was like The Shield versus Braun and
Yeah, it was Braun and Drew and Baron.
And Baron, that's what it was. So, like...
Which, by the way, that's not a bad group. I don't know why they just kind of ran away from that.
Yeah, well, because Baron Corbin has to do something to insult everybody.
Yeah, don't worry.
I know. And then what remarkably is probably the most surprising thing of the night...
Well, don't finish off, by the way. I just wanted to say that these two guys deserve better. Both Roman and Drew are better than this.
Yes, they are.
And yeah, as to what you were going to say, what the hell was with the first part of this? Because no offense, I always like Elias, but that was way too long, A. Yeah. B, what the hell is with this, the Babe Ruth thing?
They're in New York, or they're in the shadow
of
New York.
I know, I'm trying to say, like... And they're trying to say, like, Cena's the Babe or something like that.
Which is crazy to me, and it's almost...
It didn't make sense.
It's crazy to me, and it's almost insulting. Yes, I know. They're at whatever it's called, MetLife Stadium or whatever.
In Brooklyn,
They actually called it its original name at the very beginning of the show. I think Hulk Hogan said it.
Yeah, Hogan messed up the stadium name. After joking about not messing it up, he then immediately did.
Did, yeah. Here's the thing. John Cena, as cool as he is and as, you know, accommodating as he is, he's from fucking Massachusetts. There's no way in hell, no matter how much money I'm getting paid, am I putting on a fucking Yankees jersey if I'm a Boston person and I'm a Boston sports fan. There's no way. No way. Anyway, so the point of all of this is to say that the Doctor of Thuganomics is back. It's 2002 all over again.
Johnson's, it was fantastic. He was perfect.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was, like I said, to me it was the biggest surprise of the night. Because
I would have cut down the first part, but the back part was perfect.
Perfect, yeah. I don't, like...
Also, I would have had Cena come out again later on, but we'll get to that.
I don't think that... You know, him not being currently super active, if at all, he's not really. He's doing his movies. He's doing whatever else he wants to do. But how can you not have WrestleMania without something with John Cena? You know, the one year he sat in the audience until he got his match with The Undertaker or whatever it was, yada, yada, yada. This year, he full-on just goes back X number of years ago to his debut and his original kind of character that he, you know, perfected that at that time and just brings it all back.
Oh, man, if only I could remember who that character originally debuted with. Hmm.
The Undertaker.
No. Wrong guy.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, if only I could remember who one of his first opponents was, and if only that person was having a big high-profile match. Gee.
Yeah, really. Like, this was... I love the Thuganomics part of it, and you're right, he should have come back later in the night so he could basically just kick Baron Corbin's head into that fucking Trinitron, you know, the big
grit, yeah,
whatever, the big screen at the top of the stage, kind of a thing. But the Elias thing, that was hilarious. I thought that was great. For a WrestleMania that had no Undertaker, I have to say this now. What they did the next night on Raw was amazing.
Yeah, it was solid. I was surprised. I wasn't expecting to see him. But hey, let's get back to stuff that runs too long.
Batista versus Triple H.
So, first of all, listen, I'm happy Batista got a send-off. It was the right thing to do.
Yep.
And I'm happy he got to end his career in wrestling the way he wanted to.
Yep.
What I'm not happy about is Triple H, I adore Mad Max, and I adore it as a franchise, and Fury Road is one of my all-time favorite films. I could have done without the really long-ass entrance. Like, Triple H can cut these out anytime he wants.
Yeah.
He's not an active wrestler anymore. Maybe give the long, awesome entrances to somebody who wrestles every week.
Yeah.
And honestly, it made this match, which was, they did a good job of covering up the fact that both guys are older and not full-time wrestlers.
Right.
But it still ran too long.
Only reason why he got the big
is because he's the boss.
Son-in-law, yeah. It's pretty much that he's the COO, he's the this,
in
he's
all
the
honesty,
that.
I mean, that's the real reason why, because he gets long ones every single WrestleMania. And I don't mean to disrespect him. He's one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
And he should be able to do what he wants within reason, but he's got to understand that, yeah, some people are going to kind of bitch and moan like I am.
Like, let's see, who else is on this card? Like, I mean, Brock versus Seth deserved a more cinematic entrance than what they got.
Or if you want some long entrances for somebody, how about one of the greatest pure wrestlers of all time retiring?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just getting a really quick
you suck
match and quick entrance,
yeah,
whatever. Triple H wins. Everybody knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, Triple H wins via Ric Flair bringing him a sledgehammer.
A third sledgehammer, yeah. Or sorry, second sledgehammer. Yeah,
it is what it is. The match was great for these two guys.
The match wasn't bad, by the way. I would have shortened it, but it wasn't terrible.
I mean, as long as they could have each, which they did, hit their, major moves, like the Batista bomb or the pedigree or whatever, it was fine and it worked and all this and all that. And then we get to the most disappointing part of the night.
I feel like this just deflated the crowd. And they should have done something more special. I understand storyline. I understand it's the right thing to do to have Angle put over the young guy. But it felt flat. And I liked Angle's post-match bit. I thought that made me feel a little better about it, but it was just deflating.
And it makes me feel even worse what happened on Raw.
I hated that.
So stupid.
No, and Sullivan... and then the next night, he just beats up a tag team for no reason.
On SmackDown,
which was also... Why? I feel like they don't know how to debut these guys. I know they did the same thing with Braun forever, where he just kind of goes out and beats up people. But there was no reason for him to do any of this.
No.
It wasn't even within matches or anything like that. And honestly, it doesn't make him look good. It makes the other people look bad.
Exactly.
And I argue the same out of this match. I don't feel like it made Corbin look like a star.
It makes me like him even less than I already did.
And having said that, if they're able to use that to get people to boo him, it works out and was the right thing to do. But we're a ways off. It felt flat.
So we got the penultimate match for the Intercontinental title for Bobby Lashley versus Finn.
I liked this. I thought it was perfect for what it needed to be. A. B. if you recall, I complained, I don't know, forever ago, or at least I wished, sorry, not complained, that Balor, when he does the demon shtick, he should do different moves. Mm-hmm. He did different moves.
Yep.
I was so happy.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it should be. He should do like one or two moves that the Finn Balor portion of him doesn't do. And a powerbomb, by the way, is perfect.
Yeah.
That, you know, that I was fine with it. And this match was short.
Yep.
And I thought it was perfect for what it was and for its placement.
Mm-hmm.
If only some of the other ones were this short.
Yeah, were this short, yep. And then the first time in WWF, WWE history.
Whoa, you're leaving out the dance break, which was pointless, and Bliss coming out and telling us how many people are there.
That's why I'm leaving it out.
And making this even longer.
So I looked at WrestleMania 34. The timestamp was 5 hours, 3 minutes for the main thing. This, I think, was 5 hours, 24 minutes or 14 minutes, so this is longer. Not by much, but it is. Ronda versus Charlotte versus Becky for the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championship. Winner take all. Whoever wins gets both belts. Now, you know the only reason why they did this is not for winner take all. It's for the shakeup next week. Whoever.
I guess.
I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I don't know why they felt the need to insert a second belt into it, but... Yeah,
makes no sense.
Whatever. I mean,
I like the match. The match was good.
Yeah, the match was solid for people that were going to be super fired up.
Mm-hmm.
And for Rousey breaking her hand, apparently severely,
yeah,
pretty early on.
Hello?
I love that. I was ecstatic.
That was weird. You just broke up. I didn't hear a thing you said for the last, like, 10 seconds.
Good. Oh, sorry.
So,
can you hear me now? Is this a Verizon commercial?
Yeah, all right, yeah, exactly. The last thing I heard was about her breaking her hand, apparently.
Yeah, so Rousey broke her hand early on. And there were a bunch of spots I loved in this. And one, I love the figure four on a ring post.
Yep.
Which Flair did. I love anytime anyone does that. It's a great move. The vicious drop kick and then Rousey landing basically on her shoulder, neck, head.
Yep.
And my personal favorite, Rousey tipping over the table and saying, quote, "Tables are for bitches." As strong.
Yeah, that was. Somewhat controversial ending, though.
Well, they botched the pin, apparently. And
yeah.
By the way, it's kind of sad the ref apparently got
fined.
Which, geez, not his fault, sort of. I mean, I guess it's, I don't know. Whatever.
It is what it is.
And Lynch won. And so we ended up all three major titles won by the faces.
Yep.
And we also had Balor winning. So another sort of feel good. I feel like that's one of the reasons why, despite the length and the complaints about it, we have a pretty good feeling about this.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, the good guys kind of won. But more than that, I think the people who should have won, for the most part, won.
Yep.
And we have, it feels like that's another reason why the angle stuff sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
And it just feels crappy. Like, I just feel down when I think about it.
Yeah.
He deserves so much better, and he's had such a tough road. He broke his neck multiple times in pro wrestling, not just when he was doing the amateur wrestling in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And just gave so much to the business, and his end is to get beat up by Corbin, and then get the crap beat out of him by Lars Sullivan the next night.
Like, that's the point where I wish John would have come out and kind of took up for Kurt in, like, the respectful way that John would have. And John turns to Lars and says, you want ruthless aggression, come get it, or something, you know, some way of repeating the ruthless aggression line, but it isn't obviously towards Kurt because Kurt's, you know, leaving.
Well, or he's retired or whatever. Hopefully,
retired,
hopefully they find something for him to do. He's talented enough, but
yeah,
whatever.
Maybe we have Arn Anderson's job or something.
Don't get me started on why they fired him. Dumb too. It's not his fault. Whatever.
Right.
So final grade for WrestleMania, by the way, I would give it a solid 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. 4 out of 5.
It wasn't perfect. I've complained enough about the negatives, but it left me with a good feeling.
Yeah. Part of what our good buddy Alex Ricci says is Vince can die anytime now, so the product can improve. That's not.
It's a little harsh.
It's a little harsh, you know, and like we said earlier, he says next year we'll have to be substantially stronger and better to compete with AEW.
I wish. AEW is just too far off to be competition. Yeah. They need a TV contract. They would need some type of pay-per-view. I desperately want competition between somebody and WWE, but... Yeah. Yeah, it's a ways off, unfortunately. It's
a very long ways off. Raw and SmackDown the next night. We're not going to spend too much on this. Honestly, my favorite bit wasn't even on Raw. It was after Raw when Seth had Roman and Dean come back out. Because earlier in the night, Dean was supposed to have his last match, even though news outlets report that he is listed as talent on WWE things all month long here in April 2019. But he had his last match supposedly against Bobby Lashley.
He's under contract through the month. But after that, apparently he's done.
Yeah. I'm not a Bobby Lashley fan anymore. I kind of liked Bobby in the beginning, but ever since they put that little germaphobe with him, oh God, that little pissant.
Well, it feels like it ran its course. We talked about it last week.
And yeah.
Yeah, I would have broken them up and let Lashley kind of do something and be different, but.
And this, like, they didn't. Dean didn't do whatever. Who was it? Was it Elias or somebody? Somebody, this was last year, when Bobby first came back, they, like, did a thing with his sisters or whatever the hell.
Yeah, so Sami Zayn.
Yeah, Sammy, it was Sammy, that's what it was.
Which, by the way, it was ecstatic.
He came back. Yeah, he's back. That's cool. But, you know, Dean didn't do any of that kind of crap to Bobby, and then all of a sudden, Bobby goes after Renee Young, really? Dean's wife? Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't. Quick summary of Raw for me. I liked The Undertaker, obviously.
Obviously.
I thought that was a good way to use him.
Yeah.
I was so happy when they had the Kofi Kingston versus Seth Rollins match.
That was a cool match. However, until it got screwed over. Say,
get to the negatives in a second. The angle stuff sucked. I was not a fan. The Lashley, Dean, not to mention the whole treating Dean like crap. I mean, when was the last time he won?
Yeah.
Ever since he announced he was on his way out, but whatever. And, yeah, my last super negative thing, I was ecstatic to see Sammy back. I thought he was terrific. But the stuff I really hated, don't tease everybody with Kingston and Rollins if you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad for Sheamus and Cesaro, who get put in a crap position, which people are absolutely irate about.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans chanted bullshit through the whole match. I mean, they were not happy, and I do not blame them. It was silly to tease everybody and then just not do it.
Yeah.
They should have just had the match. And SmackDown continues to be... It was better. We didn't get a lame interruption in the main event. Drew and Kofi work pretty well together. It could be it could be a good feud if they decide to do it. The as you mentioned, so I'll go through my SmackDown highlights. I don't have a lot of lowlights aside from Shane. We talked about that. My highlights, the Hardy Boys.
I was surprised.
I'm happy for them because I think they both deserve one last kind of run.
And I was really surprised because this whole thing with Matt came out earlier this year. He's retiring. Retiring.
And they fixed him up. Like, I remember at one point he couldn't walk. He used to kind of limp to the ring, and I was so scared for the guy. And now he's moving like a young man again. Whatever he did, I need to do that now.
Exactly. Me too.
And then my last sort of positive, more Sami Zayn. But yeah, I enjoyed SmackDown. But my biggest thing overall, Joe and Braun, that is absolutely something they should have tried forever ago. That was great. Joe just comes in, talks about how he destroyed Rey Mysterio. Says he wants to beat up anybody. And then Braun comes out, which is great. And then Joe doesn't move. Like, they actually let him not be a coward. And they actually fought.
Yeah, that was an awesome match. Joe versus Braun.
Like, it wasn't, it wasn't a match, but it's something they should do that for a while.
Yeah.
And they should let them trade wins so nobody looks bad, but they're both, I don't know, they both looked great in this. It was.
Do more of that. What we need for Joe versus Braun is, like, you know,
they should have had Joe as a badass forever ago.
Well, yeah. What they need for that match or that feud or whatever they might do with the two of them together in a feud is that they each win something. They then have the rubber match where it's a count out or something happens.
Yeah, Braun should probably win the rubber match because he's the younger guy. No offense to Joe. But I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't want him to just. My issue is that Joe's lost enough. I don't want him to just go out and lose another feud outright.
Yeah, no.
And I don't think it does anything to Braun if he just runs over the guy.
Yeah.
So
no, it doesn't.
We'll see.
I mean, Joe's not a guy that Braun. I mean, Braun can run him over, but literally and figuratively. But Joe is not Rey Mysterio. Joe is not any
He's not a small man. He's a large, scary man. And I realize Braun's much bigger than he is. But Joe is thick, and he's really strong. And he moves. He moves like a guy half his size.
Yeah, he moves not like what he looks like. He moves, like you just said, he's like, there's a guy half his size kind of thing. My biggest takeaway from this entire WrestleMania week, and I know this is silly, but you know, and everybody that's listened to this show knows, I'm a huge mark for the Shield, and I'll put the video in the show notes so you guys can see. They did this after Raw went off the air. It was cool. Just had, you know, Seth have Britt bring Roman out, had him bring Dean out, and just, you know, thank Dean and whatever, and then Dean probably cuts the best promo of his entire career. And it's not even a real promo. It's just a thank you reel kind of thing. And it was the coolest thing ever.
And they did it the right way. Yeah. I feel like Dean's last moment probably should have been the Fastlane ending where the Shield got their triumphant send off, beating him up 3 weeks in a row with just, I don't know. It didn't do much for me. It doesn't feel like it did much for Drew. Yeah, and we've talked about Lashley enough.
Too much.
Yeah, he just needs to. He's good enough to be on his own. And so is Rush, by the way. Yeah. But together, I just feel like, they've worn out their welcome at this point.
Yep.
And we're almost too long.
Okay, so speaking of things that are too long, this will be the final part of the show, folks. The last thing we talk about. before, I think right before WrestleMania happened, like the week of or the week before WrestleMania, like right after the Raw and SmackDown go home shows, it was announced that when SmackDown eventually goes to Fox.
Yeah, just so you're clear, we talked about this on the show last week, right?
Unless
you took it out.
No, right. We talked about it briefly, but again, I want to mention it again simply because we've watched WrestleMania at 5 hours and whatever seconds it, whatever minutes it is, or if you count everything, 7-8 hours, too long. They're going to eventually make SmackDown Live 3 hours. So you're going to have Raw and SmackDown at a total of 6 hours per week, not counting any of the Facebook Live things they do, not counting 205 Live, not counting Main Event, not counting anything else. Between Raw and SmackDown, you're going to have a WrestleMania-long television program thing. I might stop watching.
We'll see. Clearly, the amount of money they get from sponsors offsets the drop in ratings they get at being too long.
Yeah. I mean, I know Disney now owns Fox, and I know the mouse and the fox can throw a crap ton of money at WWE and whatever. I think it's fine where it is. Like, it doesn't need to... Because my biggest thing is, if and when it goes to Fox, are they going to change the night? Because I kind of like having it Monday and Tuesday night. I hated that Monday... Thursday thing or the Monday Friday thing. I just didn't care enough. I like the Monday Tuesday, and hell, honestly, I was out of town Tuesday into Wednesday this week that we recorded this, and I didn't even watch Raw or SmackDown till about 2 hours before we recorded this podcast, and I basically, you know, thumbed through all of it to make sure I got all the highlights and everything else and whatever. I don't know. It's crazy. Next week, hopefully, Mike the Birdman Dodd will be back, because next week is the WWE draft, the WWE superstar shakeup, whatever you want to call it. So we'll see who ends up on Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, or wherever else. You know, Total Divas, Total Bellas, whatever. I don't know.
Can you move to the other show if you've got the belt from the other show? Like, can the Raw tag champs end up on SmackDown? Because that'll just be confusing.
I mean, unless you're going to have a winner-take-all match for everything, and then, you know, those people that win both belts, like Becky Lynch, go to one of the other things, and she loses the SmackDown belt to a SmackDown superstar, and she just goes back to Raw. I don't know how this winner-take-all stuff is confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. Or it was designed for the purpose of having her on both shows because they're worried about star power.
Yeah.
But that's their own problem. I mean, they're the ones that kind of buried Asuka.
Oh,
yeah, Ember Moon returned in the stupid Battle Royal instead of actually having a match. They've kind of ruined Bayley. Like,
yeah.
This is a problem of their own creation. So,
yeah, like
they have tons of talented women. They have a ridiculously deep roster. They just never know what to do with any of them.
Yep, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
So, where can the people find you?
That's my line, you jackass. I'm at TF2 and Mike on Twitter. You are at Nightbeat on Twitter. Follow at Geekcast Radio and at This Week in Geek on Twitter as well. Join us next time. As I said earlier, hopefully Mike will be back to talk about the superstar shakeup of 2019. Who knows who will end up on what show? We won't know until we find out. So that's coming up here on Mayhem Mike's. After that, I'm not sure. I'm really getting burnt out on this.
Kevin Owens on both shows.
Well, that would mean he would have to have the WWE and
yeah, that's
Universal Champion. But that would take it away from Kofi. Why do you want to do that?
They can feud for it.
Oh, you may. All right, folks. Yeah, we'll catch you next time here on Mayhem Mike's. I don't know what to do after that.
You just made the list!
All clear.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Without you, there isn't any us. Screw this building. The important thing is the people who fill it, and that's you. So we want to thank you once again.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.